Imagine what it would feel like getting tackled head-on by a 240-pound linebacker. You'd be in serious pain, right? But if you're unbuckled in a car crash at just 50 miles an hour, you become a deadly projectile that can slam into other passengers with 8 times that amount of force. Don't let someone else take the hit. Buckle up and visit buckleup.ohio.gov to learn more. Brought to you by ODOT and ODPS.
Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolocumab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first, the toll from Myanmar's deadliest earthquake in decades has continued to rise, compounding an already dire humanitarian situation. Homes, schools, hospitals and critical infrastructure have sustained severe damage. I'm joined on the line now by Peter Power, Executive Director of UNICEF. Peter, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, first of all, let's talk about Myanmar before the quake. It wasn't in great shape to begin with.
No, Myanmar is one of the least developed countries in the world in terms of infrastructure, schools and health facilities. Worse still, it has been a subject of civil conflict between the authorities and rebel groups right throughout the country. And that has caused the deaths of many, many thousands of people and the repression of millions of people in the country. So it's a very, very difficult environment and a very secretive environment, I should say.
How difficult has it been, even prior to the quake, for organisations like your own, UNICEF, to be active in Myanmar?
Well, we have been in the country for decades now, working with the government, such as it is at any given time, working with the authorities, local communities, local authorities, and so forth. So we have an infrastructure in there, and we've got partners on the ground. So we're in a fortunate position. But coming cold into it, it's very hard to gain access, very hard to gain visas to come into the country. But that said, as you will know, Pat, such as the scale of the disaster, that the government have actually issued a general call for international help from the international aid and humanitarian community. So presumably that will increase access. We're hoping to get in 80 tons of additional humanitarian aid over the coming days. So there's some element of access, but I know that the airport in Mandalay is closed, and that's the epicenter. So the roads around Mandalay as well are in difficulty. So it's very, very difficult environment.
Now, when you talk about your partners, we heard when this quake was first reported, 7.7, and it's just a number to many people. They don't realize the severity of such a thing. What are your partners telling you about the destruction that has been caused?
Yeah, it's you're correct, Pat, because even 1,000 miles away, I mean, the enduring image, ironically, of this earthquake may well be a skyscraper falling down 1,000 miles away in Bangkok, but that's so far away from the epicenter, it signals the strength of this earthquake. But not alone was it 7.7, but it was also a shallow earthquake, about 7 to 10 kilometers deep. And as we know from places like Haiti, when there are shallow earthquakes, the devastation can be immense. So what we're hearing from the people on the ground are saying that Mandalay, the second city in Myanmar, is very badly damaged. Nay Pi Taw, very badly damaged. Saigon, Bago, and the Shan regions are very badly affected. A lot of the roads, and you may have seen images, a lot of the roads into these areas have been damaged or destroyed. So getting access in to do an initial needs assessment is difficult, but also getting information out. The information in the country is very highly controlled. So normally in earthquakes, you would see a plethora of social media images, videos and so forth. We're not seeing much of that. So we don't know the true extent, especially outside urban areas. But we all the indications are that it is immense.
What are the most pressing needs? I presume that there might be still a reasonably ready availability of food. But of course, people are homeless now and people are injured.
Yeah, food isn't the most immediate requirement at this stage. And subject to what I said in terms of a full needs assessment being determined over the coming days, what is clear is that very many people would have been living in houses that wouldn't be very robust. And it's expected that very many people would have lost their house and their homes, as you say. So shelter, things like tarpaulins, tents, high-performance tents, tents to which we would provide to the local authorities so that they can continue with their administrative work. That'll be the first thing to get in. Water infrastructure, we understand, is very badly damaged. So we have actually pre-positioned in the Mandalay area. We would have warehouses there with things such as water purification tablets. So, you put them into jerry cans or bottles, and that purifies the water. Then basic things such as hygiene, soap, clean water, sanitary equipment, especially for women, antibiotics, painkillers, all those sort of things, medical supplies, that's next, that's needed. And then after that, it's just, as I said, just doing a full assessment of what exactly is the extent of the damage. But as I said, because of the information environment is very constrained, it's hard to know at this stage.
Now, they talk about a death toll which could be anywhere up to maybe 17 to 20,000, and who knows will we ever get the exact toll, but every single life lost, every single incident where someone is trapped under the rubble, each one of those is in its own way an individual tragedy, and it's maybe what we need to talk about to get an understanding of the extent of the disaster is those individual stories, like a pregnant woman who'd been trapped for 2 days in Mandalay in an apartment complex. They had to amputate her leg to free her from the rubble. I mean, those are the kind of stories that are heartbreaking and maybe might tug at the heartstrings of people to persuade them to help.
Well, we've seen the image of that particular rescue, and it was absolutely harrowing. And as you say, Pat, how many more of those? Again, the information space is very difficult. But what I would say is that of all countries in the world, Myanmar isn't best placed to handle a disaster of this nature, because it's already dealing with a humanitarian crisis because of the civil conflict. Health services, education services are particularly poor. Infrastructure is very, very poor. So this is really a crisis upon a crisis. And it is it really difficult to know, as I keep saying, the full extent of this, because the information flow right from the epicenter to the outside world isn't what we would normally expect. And goodness knows how many people will have been buried before we even get teams into some of the more rural areas. So this is a particularly difficult environment. It's a complex humanitarian environment. But the one thing that I would say is that the government has invited aid teams in. Firstly, aid in terms of getting people out of damaged buildings, but the humanitarian type of aid, there is an open invitation to bring that in, and subject to the infrastructure constraints, that will be brought in as soon as possible.
Now, you have to look, I suppose, at the politics of the region and the regional powers. You'd expect China to be almost immediately to help the country, because of its wealth and also its influence and its relative neighbourliness.
Yes, China has been developing a close relationship with Myanmar in recent years, although that's all relative. And obviously, given their proximity to the area, they would be best positioned to bring in initial response humanitarian teams. Again, that would be people, machinery, equipment specialists to take people from rubble and so forth. They have that ability. And then in the longer term, many international agencies, such as UNICEF and many others, would have stocks in large warehouses in the region. As you know, this region is prone to different types of humanitarian crises. So there is large stockpiles of humanitarian aid. And it's a question of getting that second wave of aid in over the coming days and weeks, again, once the full extent of this disaster becomes fully apparent.
It's an extraordinary situation that Donald Trump has pledged some help for Myanmar at a time when he has dismantled USAID.
Yes, there have been enormous cuts to international humanitarian aid and development in recent weeks, not just from coming with the dismantling of USAID, but cuts from major donor countries such as the United Kingdom, France, Belgium, Switzerland, and it looks like now Germany. These are countries that give hundreds and hundreds of billions, in fact, of euros and dollars to international aid agencies, and they depend on that. And we've already seen major cuts in many aid agencies. These are the agencies that respond to disasters such as this and provide development assistance right around the world. So we are entering, I have to say, worryingly, Pat, we are entering a period of reduced resources for development around the world. And what that means for ordinary people, I was in Sudan only last week, where 3 million children require food. They are suffering from acute malnutrition. That means that children will not get the sort of food that they need to survive. They're the real life implications. And I saw it in stabilization centres, in nutrition centres with my own eyes. That's what happens when humanitarian assistance is cut. People die, children die. And that is an absolute shame. And it's an indictment, really, of the world that we live in, where, you know, might is right, and we need to have a much wider global view, and, you know, be more humane. I have to say, Ireland is an outlier in that. There are no indications that we are cutting our aid budget, and the Irish government has had a fantastic focus on health and nutrition for many years. So has the Irish people. So we are, you know, we can stand proud by our values here in this country, I have to say.
Finally, Peter, in Ireland, are you opening a special fund for Myanmar?
Yes, we've launched an appeal because we do expect that very large resources will be required to respond. Our experience tells us when the damage is that extensive so far away, the damage in the epicentre, when the information comes out, will be huge. And we are appealing to Irish people to support our appeal for the people and children of Myanmar.
Peter Power, Executive Director of UNICEF. Peter, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Imagine what it would feel like getting tackled head on by a 240-pound linebacker. You'd be in serious pain, right? But if you're unbuckled in a car crash, at just 50 miles an hour, you become a deadly projectile that can slam into other passengers with 8 times that amount of force. Don't let someone else take the hit. Buckle up and visit buckleup.ohio.gov to learn more. Brought to you by ODOT and ODPS.